I have often stressed that love is a major part of our work. And I will give you one of the sidelights of why it is. When you realize the nature of God as perfection, then you love that perfection above all else. And when you meditate, the love in you responds to that perfection. And it's saying, God, I love you. I'm returning your love. I feel it. It envelops me. And so I return to you with love, and the love in me is seeking the truth in you. And this is a tight bond. And this opens things to you. You've got to have that feeling, and you can't manufacture it. You've got to feel it. You love God, because how can you help but love that which is perfect? And that is what you are seeking in yourself. That is the love of truth. It is the oil that runs the machinery. It is everything you do. Is this expressing your love? If not, I don't want it. Because God is love every single second. It's continuous. You can always seek it and find it. And many times you'll find it before you seek it. We all want to be taught by God. We want to bear witness to the truth. And we discover that the better we tune out of the mortal mind, the better the reception, and we become more receptive to truth. And meanwhile, there is a change taking place. An invisible change, an inaudible change. We are changing. You are changing. I see before me each individual waiting for God's word. Each individual ready to share what they hear. The flesh is not there. We know it. The soul is there. All that is there, actually, is God Himself. I am looking out at forms. Do not think that God is in that form. Do not think that spirit is in that form. The form is only what appears to be there. Only God is there. God stands invisibly where every form appears. And that is true outside this room as well as inside. God is present, and nothing else is present but concept. The images you see, the electrical images, keep changing, and they pass out of the picture, because what does not contain the Spirit of God is not permanent. We can all expect our forms to go. In fact, the truth of the matter is that I'm looking at reincarnated beings, reincarnated human beings who are not there. But they are housing the Spirit of God, which is infinite, and they're not housing it in a finite body. The Spirit of God, we are learning, must shine through each individual. And when it fully shines through, we won't be looking at them anymore. because they'll be enjoying the fullness of the heavenly experience. Now let's just look at these human beings. Let's feel that each human being represents the desire to know God aright. If we could walk inside an individual and talk to an individual, we would discover that each is a degree of consciousness about the one consciousness that envelops us all. We're looking at them, we're seeing them, but we know no one is there. That life is not in the human form. You're seeing the counterfeit of life, the imitation of life, but it is a necessary condition of human life that we each bear these forms while we go through the process of being pressed by the wine. We're in the wine press. We're learning who our Father is. We're learning the nature of our own being as I am the Father. We're learning what to seek, how to seek it, and what to turn away from. Now what we want to do is to tighten our understanding, to prepare ourselves for that glorious day when the angel of illumination appears. And that angel is not about to appear in your life until, as John puts it, you're going to be ready to hear the seventh trumpet. You hear the first, the second, the third. You hear five trumpets. It's like learning the letter of truth. You've got to go through them. You've got to winnow out the deepest understanding. But when you reach the fifth trumpet, you're ready for deeper understanding. You're ready to say, Father, am I there yet? I've been moving a long time in consciousness. Am I there yet? And the Father will tell you quickly, no, you're not there yet. But you can be ready to be there. There's some more concept. There's some more shadow. Some more judgments. Some more of what is not of the Father in you. And it's in every human being on the face of the earth. You've got to learn that truth must be pure. So you go deeper, you go higher, you go everywhere you can think of in the intellect, in the reason, and finally into the spirit. You are searching for purity. A purity that only knows the Father. That only knows the will of the Father. It's very difficult to separate the will of the Father from your own will. And you know, that's why the human ego is really Satan. The Satan we've all been talking about is our ego, our mortality. So what we have to do is continue to die to mortality. That is a surprise that faces us. When we die to mortality, we are revealed for what we are. Each form will not remain. Each form must disappear. And the secret of the form is that you have two ways to do it. One is the human death, and the other is just the death of the concept of form. If you die to mortality, there is no death. Now that's what we're playing with, the death of mortality. And it demands the allness of God in your consciousness. What about mortality is still in you? Is there an ego? Are you afraid to let go of it? What does the ego seek? I suppose one of the first things it seeks is security. I must find security. I don't feel that the security of being in God is enough for me, or I don't find in myself the capacity for security. What fame do you seek? Well, not special fame. I don't have to be a glowing star, but I'd like to be known. I'd like to be valued. I'd like to be somebody. Then there are other forms of ego, status, the way I appear to people, the things I possess. I'd rather be well dressed in a pleasant looking gown or a pleasant looking suit, and to have the Spirit of God. My automobile is very important to me. If people don't see me in the right one, I won't be the same person to them. And so on it goes. Little things to you, important perhaps to you, there's a place where the mind is not stayed on God. Somehow you had the impression that God rode around in a Cadillac, or that God was the president of a corporation. Or even worse, you didn't have that feeling, but you still wanted it. The point is that there is something going to handle you and me and everyone on this earth, whether we like it or not. And the thing that's handling you is, first of all, mortality. It is a force. It comes through you with power. Mortality makes the demands that you think You are self-willing. Mortality tells you everything you should do. And then it lays down its will, and you have nothing left. It takes a long time to find out that mortality controls this universe. Man is not free. Mortal needs control him. Everything the man and the woman do is controlled by the fact that they depend upon that mortal body for the breath of life. How are you going to root that out of your system? Paul isn't going to come around and remind you. In fact, very few people are going to remind you to die to mortality. They're the reason that you don't die. And I think possibly there are two fears, two causes for mortality remaining. One is that we are not aware that we must die. The second is the fear that we will die. We have the end of the flesh as the belief in death. We don't know you can die without the flesh going. The death of the ego is the death of mortality. The death of that little fellow inside who thinks he's a free agent and does not know that he is totally controlled. He is doing everything that the world mind tells him to do. That's the fellow who must die. The death of the human body is nothing. It's already dead. But this little fellow inside, called myself, he's the one who gets you up in the morning and tells you to run to the office. He's the one who tells you what you must do all day long. He's the one who puts through the deals. And even those of us who've come past putting through the deals, we still have a great deal of him in us. Things we think we must do. Yeah, we're not trying to kill the body. So you needn't fear that. We're trying to kill self-will. Because in order to receive of God, to be taught by God, there must be an open consciousness. Not an hour a day, not 2 hours a day. But the Father reads you perfectly well. You're open or you're not. And if you haven't heard the voice, you weren't open. If you haven't had the divine impulses that force you into beautiful activities, you weren't open. If you haven't had those special events in your life, which are not human, you have missed the beginning of illumination. And in order to do that, you must say, Father, what you put out here is here, and it is turned back to you. I love you. I want only what you give me. I want to sup at your table. And you'll be very happy the day the Father says, anytime you want to sup at my table, I will sup with you. Now then, we're building a fidelity, not an adultery. An adultery just says, Father, I had enough of what you've got, now I've got to do my own thing. You won't receive the divine word. And only that divine word will take you through that narrow path. Narrow because all that is in the world is not involved in your life. He who loves the world does not love the Father. Maybe you were surprised when you first heard that, but you can't be surprised much longer. The world is not the Father. Everything in the world is not of the Father. You can't find a thing in the world that is. We'll become more and more emptied out until we're almost like we're just tuned to one station. G-O-D. Then you hear softly. Something is there. Something is coming through me. I don't hear anything, but I'm responding to it. When you are open and responding, heaven is open and giving while you are responding. And this is the divine plan. The only one who can come into heaven is the one who is receiving from heaven, and gradually you are metamorphosized into the perfect initiate for the Father's house. You don't know how many centuries it's taken, how much you have learned in the past in other forms. And only now does it become evident to you that something has been going on for thousands of years. The human ego has been so strange that we have thought that we were the highest form of life on the earth. We're not even a form of life. If you could look at an individual, perhaps it's only a symbol, but if you could see him as a light bulb, 100-watt light bulb, a 200-watt, but you could see him in his humanhood. Maybe he's doing 25 watts. He goes in and out. He comes from the high, he comes to the low. He vacillates all the time because he's not settled. Then he finally finds his center to a degree. Now he's up to 40 watts. And you watch him and look at him. But, oh, there's so much missing. So he's shadow and he's light. He's shadow and he's light. And unfortunately, we all fall into that category. We've got a little bit of understanding about God. We've got a lot more about our ego. We've got the self-will that's running us. And then a little bit of God. The light bulb goes on, it goes off. The button snaps. We come back into this world of affairs. We can't stay illuminated. It's too much. If you want to stay illuminated, then you've got to stand there waiting on the Father. You can't do the things you want to do. You've got an appointment, you've got this to do and that to do. You've got to run here and get that and this. And why? Because you've got a little party of the women at 2 o'clock and you've got another party of the men at the golf course and all of that stuff. And that's fine. But that's a light bulb going off. you're working on 20 watts, 40 watts, that 200 watt isn't going on very often. Maybe you go to church on Sunday, it goes on a little more. But we're the Son of God in reality all day long, all night long. We've got to stay tuned in. We've got to find something in ourselves that doesn't turn left or right. It's going that straight and narrow. And only those who know it is important will do it. The others are too busy. Now, when we do it, and of course you realize that the purpose of our meditating is to stay in that consciousness, to build that vacuum around us, that we can dwell in an insulated area, which is insulated from the world mind. We're saying to the world mind, no admittance. This is between the Father and I. I and the Father are getting closer and closer in my understanding, although we're one in reality. And this is what you get your joy out of. This is what you find moves you instead of the world mind. And if you haven't discovered that, then you have a resurrection in front of you. Because in this process, you find that the resurrection isn't the dying of a person coming back into mortal form. It's the resurrection from the invisible crucifixion which you go through daily. As you go through this crucifixion, one day the mortal of you is dead, and the resurrection is the Christ of you rising from that deadness, although you have never passed out of form. That's the true resurrection. And we're all searching for it. Now we put action into effect. What are these words of God? What are these impulses? That's what I live by. That's what you're saying to yourself. I live by the impulse that God places in me, not by the impulse that comes to me from the world mind, and there are two different impulses. How can I distinguish between them? Well, every child of God knows how to distinguish between them. Every child of God knows this is my Master's voice. This is my Master's presence in me. This is the Holy Ghost. And as you learn, I mean, you take 200 dogs and have them bark, make as much noise as they want, and you find one person who goes up and says to the dog, "Hello, Fido." I don't care which one of those dogs is Fido. Fido knows that Master's voice. It's an instinct. It's the same instinct. You can hear your Master's voice. You can hear your Father's voice. You can feel the Father's impulse. And you're doing things you hadn't thought of doing. You're raised up out of this lump of flesh. Something animates you that is different. Something which has a view of infinity, and it knows what you should do in relation to infinity. And when you go to do it, it has been done. You are amazed. You want to understand this. But I go before you. I prepare the crooked places. the amazing truth of the presence of God going before you is something you can't duplicate. And when you get there, every act of yours is ordained, even if you can't speak. That's why Moses was able to get his points across. Speech impediment didn't bother him at all. Somehow, that which is necessary to be done must carry out the Father's purpose. And it does in whoever is willing to submit to that purpose. Now please don't. Don't for a single second turn away. And try, if you can, to invite the impulse of the Father in you. There's nothing quite like it. It makes life more enchanting when inspiration can become your way of life at any time. But not self-will. You've got to distinguish between inspiration of the Father and inspiration of self-will. One leads to destruction, one leads to eternal life. We'll go inside for a moment and see what the Father has to say about inspiration. And what you receive will be precisely what you have sown. If you have sown to the Spirit, if you have lived spiritually, if you have even tried to live spiritually, what you receive inside will tell you. And what you don't receive will also tell you what you have done. Because there'll be nothing to the individual who is plundered through the world, grasping at straws, building ego, doing nothing to seek inner guidance. Your connection tells you to build an atom bomb. Do you think you're attuned to the Father? Or you may have a clear channel and go inside, and your connection tells you to build the electric light. How aware are you that Edison was listening? And he couldn't stop his inventions. And they weren't all inventions just to shed light on a chapel. There were multitudinous inventions, a great variety. Half the entertainment in the world comes from his inventions. And the light. many in this great world of ours are listening? Do you know some very important people, some very important people who have made big contributions? Right across the street, there's the Frank Lloyd Wright Center. Have you read his books on spirit? There's a man who lived with the spirit, wrote about the spirit. His designs were very different, weren't they? Because he was guided by the spirit. It's not just the little people. Wherever you are, there is a channel for spirit directly to you. I venture to say that Edison and Frank Lloyd Wright would not have been as productive as they were without the spirit. And yet they were productive in this world. What I'm trying to say is that it doesn't lead you up a mountaintop into the hills and leave you there. It produces examples that the world can look at. It produces miraculous things. And only spirit has the ability to produce what is necessary, something that fills the gap from heaven to earth, and to lead you still further up. Everyone can be a channel for God. Each will be distinct. The interesting thing about spirit is it never repeats itself. Much of the world music, much of the world's inventions have come from the spirit through man. And I know sitting in each of us is the creative genius of Father, waiting for that receptive chord in you, in me, in everyone, that search for love which we must have, and then the spirit finds the opening to produce in you that which you can give to the universe. And yet that is only part of what spirit will do. That will be your sign that your light has come. You can't begin to find the truth on this earth that you're going to find when this earth is not the earth. When the new heaven and the new earth appear. For all of these things that we are discussing are the early beginnings of the new heaven and the new earth. Your inner resolve to be a spot on this earth where heaven shines through in whatever form it wishes, in whatever activity it feels necessary. And your activity will coordinate with someone else's activity. For spirit is planning the whole. And without your help, it cannot. There'll be a gap. But when you are dead to the will of the flesh, to the self-will, the spiritual manifestation of your life will coincide with other manifestations who have been attuned to the same will. And the incredible grand plan will lift you and the other individuals into a height of achievement which, as great as they are still physical manifestations, are just the beginning of the mighty works that Jesus spoke about when he said, greater works will you do. This magnificence is not reserved for that gifted individual or this gifted individual. The magnificence of God expression will come and has come invisibly to every individual on the face of the earth. We're living in the new age, so-called, in which these forms of expression are appearing in greater number. But your work is as necessary as Michelangelo's, as necessary as Da Vinci's, as necessary as Edison and Frank Lloyd Wright. There is no one who does not have the capacity of sublime perfection. So great is God's incredible plan that we cannot even begin to suspect the scope, because it is infinite. But surely you've seen enough to know that if you can become a part of it, you have an inheritance that is beyond all price. And the Father has reserved that place for you, for me, for everyone. We all have all that the Father hath. Don't squander it. Don't overlook it. All that I have is thine. I have even given you my name.